Good morning.
Good morning.
Trust and pray everybody is doing well today. Enjoying a little bit cooler weather?
Yes.
Where are my summer people? You're just dreading this. Where are my cooler weather people? Where are my fickle people who like this for about 2 weeks and then want something different? There's my people. Well, listen, we're glad that you are here with us today. First of all, look at somebody, give them a wave, give them a big smile, one that says, I'm glad to be here, I'm glad to be on the top of the sod and taking nourishment. And the basic bottom line is simply this: God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. God really, really is good. If you're joining us by way of the online services today, we're glad that you are here with us today. Just make a little comment in there. Let us know that you're alive and kicking. Don't be the back row Baptist. You know what it is. They try to sneak in and sneak out. Be sure to let somebody know that you're there. We enjoy having you folks as part of our church family as well. And this morning, one of the things, a couple of quick items. One of those is that Vicki had a little bit of a cough this morning. Vicki, we see you out there, but she was just wanting to make sure, because in the world that we live in today, she's wanting to make sure that if she does have the crud, she's keeping the crud to herself. So she is staying home today, and we have a wonderful pinch hitter. Mari is pinch hitting at the piano today, and when Brad was telling me that, I said, I didn't even know Mari played the piano. So God's blessing us all the way around, so pray for Mari as she steps in there today to do that. Pray for Vicki that all she has is the typical we're changing weather kind of sinus thing like a lot of people have. And one other thing I want to tell you, and you may be reminded of it before the end of the service, but we are going to have next Sunday, immediately after the worship service, I'm just going to go ahead and read this to make sure it's right out there. It's next Sunday morning. Board of Directors, which is Kelly Joyce, President, Jason Wall, Vice President, Tammy Bowman, Secretary, Roger Howerton, Finance Team Representative, Debbie McDonald, Sylvia Pegg, Dave Smith, and then myself, as well as David Miller, are ex officio. The subject is a called meeting on Sunday, October the 2nd, which is next Sunday. That will be immediately following the Sunday morning sanctuary worship service. And that purpose for that called meeting is to vote on accepting the North Carolina Department of Transportation deed of right-of-way and easement proposal for the North Carolina 68 widening project. So that's what we're bringing before you, the negotiations that have been done by the board. There's a motion. Now, we don't have copies for everybody, but here's what we're going to do. Outside in the narthex, Kelly, our board president, has placed what the motion is going to be. If you get a chance, you can step by there and read that motion. He is going to be sending that out by way of our email channels and then the other ways that we communicate, so you'll have a chance to look that over. So bottom line is that next Sunday, immediately after our morning worship service, called conference. The conference is to accept the offer from the DOT as well as the right-of-way of easement and some other things. So you'll be able to see that. You'll have that opportunity to ask any questions. In the meantime, we just want to let you know it's posted out there in the narthex. Don't take that with you because we're going to be sent. Just take a look at the bottom of it, which is the actual motion. You'll be getting that next week. You'll actually be getting it tomorrow by way of email. People say, well, I don't have email. Go on to our website and you can click a thing that says put me on the email and you'll get it. So we would love to communicate with you. We promise we won't blow up your box or anything. But at any rate, those are just a couple things that are on the agenda right now. Lots of things that are going on. Lots of things that are taking place. So, having said all that, take a breath. Now we just kind of need to change gears to worship, right? Yeah. Get the business stuff out of the way. But we have arrived today to meet the Lord in this place. And we're looking forward to doing that. So if you're like I am, you just need to kind of take that breath because of everything that's been thrown at you. Don't allow those things to keep on rolling around in your mind. Mind, there's a whole lot of space in there for it to roll around. Just let it settle for a while. And of course, if there's any questions, we'll answer those as we go. But let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning as we begin. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunities that you give us to be able to serve you. But today, Lord, you're giving us not only an opportunity to serve you, but Father, an opportunity to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to get that out of kilter. Lord, may our worship be more enhanced. And Lord, may our service take care of itself because we have worshiped, because we have been in your presence. Lord, today, this is about you. This is about us coming together as like-minded believers and just gathering around your word. Lord, coming to you in prayer as your church, as your body. So, Father, I just pray that you will help us to let our minds be there rather than other places, and that today you would truly speak to our hearts. We know that you've shown up wanting to do that. We know that you have a message for each and every one of us. And, Father, today I pray that we will receive that message. Lord, don't let us get distracted today because of all the things that are going on. And Lord, even though I know they're important things, Lord, you are more important. So Father, help us to keep our focus upon you. Help us to lift you up. And Lord, may we draw close to you. We pray that if there's a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that today would be the day that they would give their life to you and count on life eternal in the place that you have prepared for us called heaven. So Lord, lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Today our computer and screens won't be working, so it's good we have our hymn books. If you would please turn to hymn number 202, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Please stand with me as we sing.
Oh, thought that might wake you up this morning for those who might be sleeping in. I'm actually just giving time for Mari to get to the piano. We're so thankful for her taking the text this morning saying, would you be interested? So that was just great. I happened to see her practicing one day before choir practice, so otherwise I wouldn't have known, like you said. So thank the Lord for that. Please turn to hymn number 212, I Love You, Lord. Actually, it's going to be 213 first. At the bottom of the page, we will glorify, and then we'll do I Love You, Lord.
To the Lord, I pray and trust that as we lifted up our voices, that that came from our heart and not from our lips. In your Bibles this morning, we're going to be looking at passages out of the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You know, it's always interesting that when you come to know the Lord, I've said this many times, there are expectations that God has of His children. And, you know, too many times what happens is we get to the point where if we have a genuine conversion experience, and I have to be careful how I say that because there's so much truth in this. I think that there are a lot of people today who have a form of godliness, as the New Testament says it. Now, I don't want to say that to try to be judgmental, but when I say that, and as you think about it, you can understand where I'm coming from as well. There are lots of people who their idea of Christianity is, I went to the church, I did my thing, I'm a good attender, I'm a good servant of the Lord, or I went down front and I talked to the preacher and I prayed with him and I checked the boxes in the card and I've done all these things like it's a checklist. Now, where are my list people out there? You love to check boxes, don't you? I mean, when you get a schedule for the day and you love to have those boxes checked, and then what happens is when you get to the end of the day, if you don't have boxes checked, you start getting a little crazy. In fact, if you get past lunchtime and there are less boxes checked off than you feel like it should be, you start getting anxiety. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not a bad quality to have. People like me need people like you. Because I'm sitting there going, oh, it's fine, we got plenty of time. You know, what I don't get to today, I'll get to tomorrow. Where am I? I'll get to it tomorrow, people, if I don't get to it today. We drive the list-making people crazy, don't we? They don't want to do projects with us because they look at us as indifferent. Now, what happens, though, is when it comes to our spiritual life, it is not about checking the boxes. Do you hear me? It's about a relationship. How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them. How do you build a relationship? You cultivate that relationship by spending time with those people, by getting to know them, getting to know, what they think, how they think, whether you have like and common interests, all these different things that help to build a relationship. Now, let me make you this promise. God wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want a bunch of checked off boxes. He wants to know you in an intimate way. Now, if you've looked at our social media site, I saw something that really just it jumped out at me, and I actually posted it on our private church Facebook page. But it was one of the great preachers of our time, and he said this. He said, you know what? People say I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And the answer to that is you're absolutely correct. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But Tony went on to say this. He went on to say, he says, you don't have to go home to be married, but if you stay away long enough, it's going to affect the relationship. Plain and simple. So how are we cultivating our relationship with the Father? Listen, if we're coasting, then we need to stop. That's not what the Lord has in mind. That is not what He has in store. What are you personally doing to get to know the Lord better? What is it that you are doing to draw close to Him? I don't want you to have a bunch of methods. Methods are okay. Daily Bible reading is okay. Having a process or a method of daily Bible reading is not a bad thing. The question is, why are you doing it? Do you sit there and go, I got to do this dad blame Bible reading today? Dad blame is a word in West Virginia. Got to do that today. That's the wrong attitude. The attitude should be, this is where I'm going to meet the Lord. This is where I'm going to get to know Him. This is where I'm going to get to draw close to Him. This is what I want to find out about Him. Those of you who are married, remember when you started dating your spouse? Some of y'all go, yeah, I think I can remember that. Remember the things you did? You spent time with them because you wanted to get to know them better. You asked questions. Are you ready for this? Here's something else you used to do. You used to listen more attentively, didn't you? Why did you listen attentively? Because you wanted to know what kind of flowers she liked. You wanted to know what kind of what his favorite meal was. Now it's kind of like, there's crackers and peanut butter in the cabinet over there.
Why does it get that way? How does it get that way? Sometimes relationships will grow stagnant. This morning, I'm asking you, has your relationship grown stagnant? And first of all, did you ever have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son? Now, there are some important things that we find out in chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. And I'm going to do things a little bit different this morning because of what it is that he's wanting to show us through this. I'm just going to kind of take them one at a time instead of throwing them at you and then coming back and picking up the points out of it. But there are some things that that the Lord shows us about the new life. You understand what I'm talking about when I say the new life? When you give your life to Christ, you know, it says all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are given a new life. A life that should desire to walk close to the Lord. A life that desires to walk in the Word in a way that is pleasing to the Father. So he begins to address that in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1 says this. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now I have to stop at verse 1. And the reason why is because there is a conditional statement in here. It says, if then. You know, if doesn't mean that something positively has happened. It says, if then you were raised in Christ. My question is, have you been born again? This is the question that verse 1 begs to differ. It wasn't about checking the boxes. It wasn't about filling the card. It was about the time in your life when you genuinely said, Lord, I understand that I am a sinner, and what I deserve is death and hell, but thanks be to you through your Son and the sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Through that death, burial, and resurrection, you are giving me an opportunity for eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Father, today, I accept that. Has there been that time in your life? Now, that doesn't sound like checking a box, does it? That doesn't sound like church attendance, does it? And the reason why it doesn't is because those are things that you should want to do as a believer. But the critical thing that you need to do is genuinely turn your life over to Him. So he goes on and he says that statement, if then you were raised in Christ, he tells us to do something. If you're born again, if you've given your life to Christ, he tells us in the second part of the opening sentence of chapter 3, verse 1, here's what he says to do. Seek those things which are above. Now, if I were to ask you the question today, are you seeking the things which are above, what would you tell me? Better yet, let me change the question. The Holy Spirit is asking you, are you seeking things that are above? Now, you can lie to me, but you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. Are you seeking the godly things? Or is your whole life about living for these moments? You know, you've heard me use the term before, living horizontally as opposed to living vertically. Is your whole life about making more money, driving a fancier car, padding up the bank accounts? Or is your life truly about following what it is that the Lord wants for you? Now, if you want a good litmus test for that, let me make you a promise. If you're following Jesus, there are going to be some times that He's going to ask you to do some things that you don't want to do. He's going to put you in some places that you don't want to be. That's plain and simple. Have you been in those situations? Have you been in those circumstances? But he's saying this. He's saying, if you are born again, if you are raised in Christ, then seek those things which are above, the things in the Word, the godly things. How can you seek them if you don't know what they are? Now, it's ironic that when we look at it in life today, have you ever noticed that unbelievers seem to know more about how a believer should live than most believers know today, don't they? How many times have you ever had somebody in your life say, you know what, a Christian don't act that way? And the part that made you mad was they were right. They knew exactly how you should live as a believer. And you weren't living it. And they called you on it. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, he gives us some more instruction. In verse 1, he tells us that if we're believers, that we are to seek. Then verse 2, he gives us something else to do. Now, so many people sit back all the time and will say, well, you know what? When I became a Christian, I just didn't know what else to do. The instructions are right here. They're pretty plain and simple. I may not be the smartest person in the world, but right here is a list. If you're having trouble trying to figure out what you need to do as a believer, here's you some things you can do starting right now. Right now. You know, the Lord understands that when you give your life to Him, you don't all of a sudden become instantly spiritually mature. Growth is a process, isn't it? You know, when a child is born, you don't expect him to have a job, a 401k, and, you know, money saved up and his own car and everything else. No. You know, sometimes they have trouble with the most basic things because it's a growth process and they have to learn. You understand that. Most of us understand the growth process. And spiritual maturity is also a growth process. But listen, we got too many spiritual infants running around. Too many, you know, 60-year Christians that are still in diapers. Too many 60-year Christians that are still drinking on the bottle. When the Bible tells us all along, after a while, you start to desire meat. Remember baby bottles? Remember them things? And remember grandmas. Where are my grandmas? Grandmas, I don't know what's going to happen with the next generation. Because without a grandma who kept a mama straight, then us kids would be all jacked up. Well, the doctor said you don't feed them anything except this milk or this formula for the first year of their life. My grandma said there's this stuff called rice cereal that you can put in that bottle. And all my grandmas said, don't know what's wrong with this baby. Grandma says, let me tell you what's wrong with that baby. That baby's hungry. Feed them. Get them some food. Start moving them along. And then they start eating that really stuff in the jar. Remember the Gerber? You know, they start going from the milk to the mashed up stuff. And the reason why, because the system is easing into it. Then you get to the point, because grandma had already done it, where grandma's pinching off little pieces of chicken. Mashing, you know, taking a little pea and that sort of thing. And you move them to solid food. Spiritual maturity is the same way. It is a growth process. And if the Holy Spirit mentions to you right now and asks you the question, where are you in the growth process from the time that you accepted Christ, what would your answer be? I didn't say if I ask you, because again, you'll tell me a story. But you can't fool the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says, where are you in the spiritual maturity list, where are you? And here are some things that he says that we should do. He says in verse 2, he gives us another instruction. He says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. Where is our concentration? Do we get up every morning saying, Lord, today could be the day? Do we get up every morning saying, Lord, thank you for forgiveness of sin. Lord, help me today not to do things that are ungodly or against your word. Help my actions to be representative of you. Do we do that? And then if we do, how successful are we? Let me tell you something. Some of the meanest, nastiest people I've seen on the planet say they're Christian people. To each other. To those whose views are different than them. And Jesus would never, never, never act that way. Jesus always loved everybody. Including sinners. The world looks at Christian people today and says, how are you supposed to be what God wants you to be? And they know. And they say, you can't even get along with yourselves. And here's the reason why. Because we haven't done what verse 2 tells us to do. It says, set your mind on things above, not things on earth. Is our thought towards kingdom activity? You know what? When you look at it, when you look at it from the perspective of even a church, if a church's marching orders aren't to win lost people and disciple those that come to Christ, then we're doing the wrong thing. You know what happens? Our focus becomes this way and not this way. And you don't have a church anymore. You have a social club. If it becomes more about stuff than it does people, then we're in the wrong business. We'll be like the church that says, the sign said, went out of business because we didn't know what our business was. Are we setting our mind on things above? Let me make you a promise, okay? Here's a promise I'll make you. If you set your mind on the things above, God will take care of all the peripheral stuff that so often drags us down. I promise. How can I do that? Because He promised us in His Word. Now, I've used this example many, many times, and most of us are familiar with Isaiah's vision over in the book of Isaiah, and it talked about the seraphim, and it said that the seraphim, remember, that got the hot coals that seared the lips. It said a seraphim, and a seraphim, as described in the Bible, has six wings. And when Isaiah was describing it, it said with twain, I'll use the fancy language, with twain, that means two. It said with two wings, He covered his face, covered his eyes. It said with another twain or two, he covered his feet. And with the other two, he flew. He used two of the six wings for service and four for worship. Because you see, to cover the face was an act of worship. To cover the feet was an act of worship. Now, when we get our worship right, our service will take care of itself. I promise. Well, how can you make that promise, Roy? Because the Word tells us that. But it all depends on where our mind is set. Is our mind set on earthly things, or is our mind set on heavenly things? What is more important in your life? The godly things or the earthly things? Think about it for a minute. Now, I'm asking that as a personal question because each and every one of us have to answer that on our own. So He's already given some instruction. Verses 1 and 2 are enough to make you stop, aren't they? And some of you are going, oh, please, preacher, stop. No, no. You know me better than that. I still have time. He says, set your mind on the things above, not things on earth. Now let's go to verse 3. Verse 3 says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now that's talking about when you trusted Him, when you received Him. That is assuming you had a genuine conversion experience. When you died, that's what that means. That's not talking about the earthly death. That is talking about how you died to self, how you died to sin. Man, what baptism is a great picture of. It's a picture of that death, burial, and resurrection. It's a picture of the old self being buried and the new self rising up. It says, for you died, you believers. This is talking to you. If you're not a believer, this part's not even for you. You got something you need to do first. And that's give your life to Christ. But for the believers, you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? I can't wait to stand beside Him and say, yeah, I'm one of His. Not as a matter of unhealthy pride, but I enjoy being part of the family. I enjoy being part of the family of God. Remember, we used to sing a song. I don't know whether it was considered a hymn or a praise or whatever. I call it a song. But we would sing it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Remember that one? And boy, we would get into that because we meant it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. Put that on the list. That'd be a good one. To celebrate Christ, to celebrate being part of the family. Verse 5, He gives us more instruction. If you're not sure, he's given us more instruction. He says, because. Now, remember, this was aimed towards those people who've given their life to Christ. He says, since you've given your life to Christ, he says, set your mind on the heavenly things, not the earthly things. And then he says, here are some things that we can do. For you people that are list makers, here's your to-do list. For those of you who are sitting back going, Lord, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step is. He says, right here's your next step. He says, therefore, verse 5, put to death your members which are on earth. Oh, now that's not talking about going out and assassinating somebody. Notice it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on this earth. Then he gives us examples of those members. He's saying these are things that Christian people ought not be doing. And here's a list of your do nots. List makers, here's your do nots. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know what? If you're a normal person, there's something on that list you struggle with. Yeah, you can't sit back and go, oh, check, got that, whoop, check, got that. Yeah, maybe you can. I'm not being judged, but I'm telling you that the normal person struggles with something on here. And people would sit back and say, well, are you saying that I'm a fornicator or I'm a... No, I'm not saying that. Yeah, covetousness might be a problem. Wanting what your neighbor has, wanting what somebody else has. Maybe idolatry, something that you're putting before the Lord. Here's your things you should not be doing. If you're doing those, then you need to get them out. You need to take that shovel and get them dislodged from your life and do away with them. And some of y'all just went, oh, I can't. Well, you know what? You're right. You can't, but God can. Right there's you some steps. There's some action steps right there. Put aside fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. I love how the Bible's written, because then it tells you why you should put these things away. Verse 6 says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Well, Lord, why should I quit that? Because if you don't, I'm going to fix you. Now, I'm not sitting here trying to tout it. You know, there are people that I've known in my lifetime that grew up afraid of God. They were just afraid that if I don't do all the do's and if I do some of the don'ts, that God's just going to, you know, grab me by the neck and throttle me. And they've lived their life in fear, and that is not the way God wants a Christian to live their life. God wants you to live your life in such a manner that love permeates all that you do. His love for you, your love for him. And when you love somebody, I love what it says, love conquers all. Yeah, people say love is blind. I say love is not blind. Love sees more, therefore it's willing to see less. Remember what the Bible says, love conquers a multitude of sin, doesn't it? See, part of our problem today is we don't love like we should. Love brings forgiveness, doesn't it? Why are we often non-forgiving people? Because we lack the love that we should have. And he said, if you do these things, the wrath of God is going to come on you. And you know it's going to, because this is for a believer. If you are a believer and you are doing these things, those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He's not going to let you get away with it. He is on you, and you cannot go so high or so low or so left or so right that you can avoid it. It is a 24/7 thing, isn't it? You are miserable. And if that's you, the only way that you're ever going to get any peace and relief in your life is through the repentance and forgiveness. Then you will be set free once again. Verse 7. It says, well, let's go to verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. It's talking about before you gave your life to Christ, when you walked in the old nature. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Oh, guess what? We just got another list of things we can do. Things that we should do. What are these things? Now he is saying, here are some things you need to put off to be a good child of the king, to be a good follower. Verse 8, now you yourselves are to put off all these. And here they go. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now, we got to stop because most of us did not get past verse 8. Put off. Put off what? Wrath. Anger. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but we got an anger problem in our society, don't we? Now, there would be people out here, even in this room, and people that are tuned in online that would say, yeah, I have a problem. I get angry. I have an anger issue. And it's ironic that since the pandemic, that's gotten worse, hadn't it? Everybody that I know has a short fuse, don't they? What else is anger? Wrath? Oh, it can get you fired up and ready to go in a minute. How many of y'all, I will ask you this, how many of y'all have those little tirades that you go on and you do this monologue to your coworkers or your family or whatever, and after you get done, you feel like you need oxygen? Nobody wants to raise their hand on that one, do they? Thank you, Mark. I see that hand. No, we all do it. When you get done, your head's about to explode. You have just become so intense and enraged, and the wrath is there, and you're like, I need a minute. We do it. You know, coming out of the pandemic, when you went up to the restaurant, yes, I would like my normal. Well, we don't have that anymore. We have a limited menu. Well, what do you have? Hot dogs. What else? Hot dogs. I want a hot dog. I want a chicken basket. You advertise a chicken basket. Your website says a chicken basket. Or how many times have you gone to the restaurant and they haven't updated the website in 2.5 years? Oh, they don't close until 10 o'clock. And you get there and they closed at 7:30. And what do? Your website says you guys are open until 10 o'clock. Man, listen, I have seen Christian people get wound so tight over these things. I have heard people say, wait staff say, they detest working on Sundays because some of the rudest, non-tippinest people are Christian people. That's not a good reputation to have. Put these things off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, folks. God's watching. God's listening. He knows. Man, what a great place to start. If you're a new believer and you don't know where to begin, Colossians chapter 3 in the first 8 verses has already given you some homework. I didn't like homework. I really didn't like having homework on the first day of school. Did you give homework on the first day of school? Thank you. Where are my other teachers I'll pick on out here? I did not like homework on the first day. I didn't like it any other day, but particularly on the first day of school. I'm like, man, I'm still just trying to get my feet under me here. And now I got homework. Home should be my time. No. Then he goes on to verse 9, and he tells us something. He's being specific. He is writing these things out. Verse 9 says, do not lie to one another. That is a whole separate message for another Sunday. Because you know what? We do that, don't we? And sometimes we will justify it. Well, that was just a little white lie. And every time we get to this, when somebody's struggling, and I'll probably have a call this week, so if that's you, this may prevent you from calling me. People will say, well, I want to ask you about that thing you preached on Sunday. Okay, well, particularly this one point. It says, don't lie to one another. Well, what if my wife comes to me and asks me if this outfit makes me look fat? I'll just go ahead and answer your question right now. You need to pass out right there so that the subject will be changed. You get what I'm trying to say? But I'm talking about beyond that. See, we've gotten to be good liars today, haven't we? Well, preacher, I don't think I like you calling me a liar. Well, let me ask you this. Is your life reflecting the godliness that it should? Or is it a facade that you put on and the real you doesn't want to have anything to do with it? Don't lie to one another. And that's talking about believers to each other. That's talking about believers to non-believers. Don't lie to each other. That is talking about your relationship this way. Before we were talking about it this way. Now we're talking about it this way. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds. Folks, when you became a believer, the old nature didn't go away. Do you hear me? It is still there. That's why you are. The temptation is there. You have to fight it every day. You got like, the best way for me to describe that is remember the cartoons with the little devil on one shoulder and little angel on the other shoulder. Before you were a believer, the little angel wasn't even there. Now little angel's saying, now you know that the Bible says you shouldn't do that. You know that that's not pleasing to God, and the devil's going, do it. If it feels good, do it. And by the way, old Satan's a theologian too. Did you know that? Oh, listen, you've heard this one. You ready for this? Go ahead and do it. Because then you can ask forgiveness of it. And God will forgive you. So you get the best of both worlds. See, that's taking advantage of the grace of God. It's not about going out and filling up your sin bucket and coming back and emptying it. It's about making godliness a lifestyle. Remember what he said up there? Are you living your life in that way? Are you walking in the ways that are worthy? And folks, your character is who you are when nobody except God is watching. Do not, verse 9, lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's kind of that little devil angel illustration I was talking about, where there is neither. This is kind of interesting. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian. I can't say that word well. Psychothen, slave or free. But Christ is all in all. Now, let me just make it real simple. We've said this 1,000 times, but it is the perfect picture. The ground around the cross is all level. Nobody's better than anybody else. It doesn't see color. It's not black and white. Like he said, it's not Jew or Greek or whatever. It is a living human being. And if you are a living human being breathing, I don't care what color you are, what socioeconomic status you are, then Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross that you might have eternal life. Plain and simple. And we're not to essentially make our actions and functions based on those things. I've seen that happen. I've watched it happen. I've seen where somebody would run around the church locking a door to keep a poor man out of the church, or to keep somebody of a different ethnicity away from the church, and they would watch and they would run. Not here, it's not y'all, everybody relax. But yes, they saw someone of a different color, and what they did was saw what door they went to and locked the door. And when the door was locked and the fellow went to try to another door, then he unlocked the door and ran to the other door and locked it. Boy, ain't that the kind of church you want to be a part of? I think not. But what's in our heart? How are we living? Are we putting off the old? Has the new grown within us? Which nature are you feeding? The old sinful nature or the new godly nature? And whichever one you feed the most is the one that will get the strongest. I still remember in Bible college, I always talked about it. It said if you took two puppies from the same litter and you put them out there and you put one in a little fenced in area and you tied one to a tree and all you did was feed one of them and give attention to the other one, and that puppy just became the sweetest puppy in the world, and that other one over there was about to starve to death, and he became mean because he was trying to survive. Which nature are you feeding? The old sinful nature or the new godly nature? Whichever one that you're tending to the most is the one that is strongest in your life. I think what I'm going to do is pick up next week where we're leaving off, because there's so much stuff in Colossians chapter 3. But I think what happens is we have to understand where we are, and you have to be honest with yourself. Was that an old expression, to thine own self be true? How many times have we told stories to ourselves? I'm okay, when you're not okay. You really knew it deep down inside you weren't okay. You know, when you smashed into a tree and you caved in the whole front fender and you're like, I'll buff out. Not a problem. What has the Holy Spirit said to you this morning about where you are in regard to your walk with Him? Now remember, He started off By saying something that was pretty critical. Remember what he said? He says, if then you were raised in Christ, the question is, have you trusted Christ? That's the first thing you have to answer before you can get any of the rest of this. Have you trusted Him? Or did you just fill out a card and pray with the preacher, and because baptism was the next logical step? How many of y'all grew up with good old fiery old Baptist preacher in your life? How many of y'all grew up with? You know what that meant. That meant if you gave your life to Jesus that Sunday, next Sunday, you were in the water. Unfortunately, even if you didn't understand why you were there. That was the bad part. God loves our hearts and souls, but sometimes we can be the detriment to people truly understanding. That's why, you know, we have kids. I will talk with them about baptism. Salvation, man, 100%. But baptism, I was asking, why are you doing this? Why do you want me to baptize you? I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard some really good ones too. My most favorite was the little fellow that looked at me and he went, because the Lord told me to. I think that covers it. No problem. I'll sign you up. Mom, he's ready to go. Because you know what that means? That's obedience. In obedience to the great command of our Lord and Savior, we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Have you done that? Now, I will promise you that in a room this size, there's somebody here that thought they were saved when they were younger, and you were baptized then because you had a good old country preacher, and then what happened was you really didn't get it all sorted out with the Lord until later on, but you're still counting on that old baptism. Listen, let me make you a promise. That you just got wet. That's not a public profession, because you can't publicly profess something that you didn't genuinely profess back then. Listen, have you been baptized following your salvation experience? Well, that one can't. No. Because I get that question too. Well, does my baptism from before count? Did you hear what you said? From before? Before what? Before I was saved? No. I take a bath every day. That's not baptism. That's not public profession. Uh-oh, some of y'all just got convicted. Because some of you haven't been obedient. That's one of the things I love. I tell you, I love and miss Rodney. I'll be careful not to use last names because of our broadcast, but Rodney served the Lord all of his life, but he didn't come to know the Lord until the end of his life. And he said, you know, I've been doing this all wrong. He said, I was doing it all right, but all for the wrong reasons. I was doing it. I wasn't falling in love with the Lord. I was doing it because this is what I felt like we had to do. And I still remember praying with him in a business, in the lobby of a business, to accept Christ. I said, well, you want to talk about this afterwards? I said, no, I want to do it now. He said, I might die between now and the end of the show. I said, well, let's do it. And he trusted Jesus. And in his age, after being a deacon and after serving in the church and doing so many things, he walked down that aisle that next day, which was on a Sunday, and professed Jesus Christ to everybody who had been part of his Sunday school class, who had been part of his deacon families. And then the next baptism, Rodney was up there being baptized because he said it's important. And he meant so much to so many people because of his testimony, because his strength, and because his courage and his bravery. Which one of us needed to hear Rodney's story today? Because you got some stuff you need to do. All of us, I think, have some stuff we need to do. You know what? Maybe not that, but maybe we need to look at this list and say, not doing too good here, not doing too good here. But Lord, by the grace of God, He will help us. Do you need Him? Number one, that's most important, that's most critical. I'm going to ask Brad, you guys come on up for our time of invitation. That's most critical. If you don't get anything else straight or right today, make sure that you leave this place with a relationship with Christ. He's already convicting your heart. The Holy Spirit's already telling you what you need to do. And I know, listen, Satan's also in your ear. Remember the little devil, little angel thing? You know what he's saying? It's quarter till. You're not going to get there before all the Methodists do to the lunch places. You can just talk to him later. Do what you need to do now. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time. Listen, if you need Jesus, I'd love to pray with you. We're here to celebrate with you. Ain't anybody going to look at you funny? We're going to celebrate with you. Maybe you've trusted Christ, but maybe you haven't followed in believer's baptism in a biblical manner. Do you need to take care of that? Do you need to start working on this list of do's and don'ts that the Lord's given us in Colossians chapter 3? What do you need to do? This is the time that it's a here. Now's the time. Yeah, you know, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. The altar is here. Look, we still believe in a good old-fashioned altar call. You need an altar, it's right there. A bended knee at an altar is a great sign. If you need me, I'm here. But whatever needs to be done, it needs to be done right now. What does the Holy Spirit put on your heart? You do business with God. If you need me, I'm here. The altar's here. As Brad comes to lead us, as we stand together and sing our invitation hymn, you do business with God.
Number 281, Speak to My Heart.
Bowed, as your eyes are closed, as Mari continues to play. Remember what I said, now's the time. Don't allow Satan to keep you from being what God wants you to be. You're making a choice right now. You're going to follow him or you're not. You're either for me or against me is what he said. What will you do? Would you make the step for him? He went to Calvary's cross and through the grave and out of the grave for you and me. Could we stand for him? Listen, do it now. Don't let this moment escape you. You do business with God. Ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Just once again, as a reminder, don't forget next Sunday we will have a call business meeting specifically for the purpose of voting on the NCDOT right-of-way and easement proposal that has been negotiated. You can take a peek at it out in the narthex. Please don't take it. We will be sending you some by way of email, and if you have any questions, you can certainly contact our board and let us know. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Again, we praise you and thank you for the day. We thank you for every provision in our life. Lord, the finances that you give us, you have done so to be good stewards of. You want us to, Lord, just to manage it properly for you. Now help us, Father, to be faithful as we give back to you that portion that you've richly blessed us with, as we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. This week, birthdays, we've got tomorrow, Tom Twitty will be celebrating a birthday. Our own David Miller's Wednesday, so he'll be making another trip around the sun on Wednesday. Pearl's granddaughter, Grace, has a birthday coming up this coming Saturday, so we want to remember her in our prayers. And then also, as far as anniversaries, we've got Philip and Ginger Keever will be celebrating an anniversary this coming Thursday. So if you're a card sender or a text sender or whatever it is you do, be sure to let these folks know that we're going to be keeping them in mind and praying for them. Choir practice today at 5 o'clock. Don't forget that. My discipleship D-Life group, we will meet at 3:30 in the conference room. And WANA is at 5:30. So we're in full swing there. And once again, if you can help out, you can talk to Jana or Jimmy, and they'll get you lined out. I mean, you don't want to miss out that with the kids, man. What a privilege and an opportunity that God's given us to have an opportunity to work
with them. Now, I'm sure there's probably things that I'm forgetting because there's 10,000 things that are on the slate and that are going on. But with that, don't forget, next week, call conference. We're giving you that week notice on that. It will be after church on next Sunday. Take a peek at it. Don't take it with you. You'll be getting an email tomorrow from Kelly, and we'll be getting it out through our channels of communication. David Miller, if you would, come and see us off in a word of prayer and remind people of everything I've forgotten.
One of the things we were supposed to do today, I hope you did, is put your offering envelope in for the North Carolina Baptist Missions offering. If you didn't and you have it with us, and if you'll just bring it back up here and lay it on the table, we'll get it to where it's supposed to be. This is the only Sunday we're doing that. North Carolina Baptist Missions is the organization that helps us go to Cuba and Wyoming and Vermont and all the places we've been. Without them, it'd be difficult to coordinate our ministry doing that. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the time we can spend in your house together as the family of God. We thank you for the privilege we have of worshiping you through song, through listening to the word. God, help us to take the message we've had and apply it to our lives, that we might be the family of God that everyone wants to be a part of. Lord, as we leave this place today, bless us as we go our separate ways. Help us to be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.